about you, but I'm glad. Praise God for his witness. I'm glad, praise God, that I take an opportunity to stand before this world. I'm glad, praise God, that somebody praise my name who looks at me and praise God can see the God on the inside of me. I'm not trying to say that I'm goody goo-shoe, praise God, because I know somebody's going to say, well, he thinks he's all this, he thinks he's all that, she thinks she's all this, and she thinks she's all that. It is not that, but let me tell you something. When I say that this world, they need somebody that they can focus upon. You know why Jesus came? I was going to answer this question this morning, but I didn't want to answer it right then and there. You know why Jesus came in earthly and fleshly apparel and flesh when he came down to this earth? Hallelujah. He put on, hallelujah, praise God, mortality. I'm talking about the flesh. He put it on. You know the word, the Greek word that John uses to talk about Jesus coming here. I'm going to spell it for you because I pronounce the word sarx, S-A-R-X. Praise God, the same word that the Apostle Paul used when he described flesh. Praise the name of my Lord. And there is something that the Bible says about flesh. Is there anybody in here that don't know something about flesh? Can I tell you about flesh? Flesh is deteriorating. Flesh is no good. Can I tell you that flesh is up to no good? Because if it was up to flesh, flesh would not want to serve God. Can I tell you something? Paul even knew that, because Paul penned at Romans chapter 7, I believe 18. He said, praise God, for in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Praise God, what he's trying to tell you, when I want to do good, evil is at every hand. When I want to turn right, there is something telling me to turn left. There is something about this flesh of ours. But Jesus, regardless of what the flesh was like, he took on bodily form and came down here with all of the mess that's associated with flesh. But you know why he did it? He did it so that he can show you and I that you can make it in this world. You can have flesh, but you don't have to be fleshly. He bear witness, and I'm so glad. Praise my name. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm so glad. Praise God, my brothers and my sisters, that God's affirmative action program became a reality. Praise God in my life. I'm so glad that he was born over 2,000 years ago in a lonely manger. Did not have any room for him to be born. I'm so glad that over 2,000 years ago, he walked this earth for 33 and a half years. And even though it was short, and even though he walked it in humanly flesh, with everything that goes on with flesh, I'm so glad that after 33 and one half years, he went up a hill called Calvary. He walked up a rugged hill called Calvary. I'm so glad that he died on that cross. Praise God for my sin and your sins. I'm so glad, praise God, that after he died, They put him in a borrowed grave where he stayed dead 3 days and three nights. But I'm so glad, I'm overwhelmingly glad that after 3 days, he got up and declared, I got all power in my hand. But my gladness doesn't stop there. I'm glad that he got up out of that grave, walked around this earth for 40 days, and then one day he stepped on a cloud, took him on up. I'm so glad that he now sits beside his Father at the right hand. You know what the right hand means? That's a position of authority. He's interceding for me. He's interceding for you. I'm so glad. I'm glad of it. I'm glad about it. Another thing that I'm glad, that after he stayed in that grave 3 days and three nights, he got up.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Attention pastors, ministers, teachers, and ministry leaders in the Leesville, DeRidder, Manny, Alexandria, and surrounding areas. The Vernon Ministerial Association is presenting the Oika de May Mini Bible Conference, Friday, February 21st at 7 p.m. and Saturday, February 22nd at 9 a.m. The Oika de May Conference will be at the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville. And the topics include mission, evangelism, apologetics, word study, and efficacious preaching and teaching. Registration is $25 per person. Pastor Frank Brown is available for pre-registration at 337-424-9669. Dr. Richard Jewell Rose is the president of the Oika de May Bible Institute. Dr. Carl R. Armstead is the president of the Vernon Ministerial Association, a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
Steps to peace and the path of life. Let me begin by saying that Psalm 37 is a psalm that was written by David when he was an old man, according to, thank you, Ursus, verse 25. In this psalm, he addresses a problem that has plagued the people of God since the dawn of time. And that problem is, why do the wicked seem to prosper while the righteous suffer? I mean, why is it that people who don't even believe in God, folk who live their lives as they please, seem to always have everything going their way? In other words, they seem to have the best job, drive the best cars, live in the best houses. They never seem to get sick and so on, while the people of God who are trying to do their best to be a good Christian and live for the Lord seem to be struggling all the time. Sometimes it seems as if every time you take one step forward, you have to take two steps backwards. Now, this problem is also addressed in Psalm 73 and Psalm 49. In Psalm 73, the psalmist says he almost stumbled and his feet almost slipped when he began to envy the boastful and saw the prosperity of the wicked. And it is also a prominent theme in the book of Job. And yes, it does seem that the righteous struggle from time to time while the wicked prosper. But the good news this morning is the fact that David says in verse number 25, he said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so with your prayers this morning, I want to reveal some steps from the text that will help us not to be bothered, angry, or worried when we suffer and the wicked seem to prosper. Because you note he starts it off in verse 1 and 2, we note that envy is condemned, especially when the object of that envy is a lost person. Although sometimes it does seem like the wicked prosper while the godless suffer, yet we always need to remember that our earthly existence is as close to hell as we're ever going to get. Why is this? Because we who are saved have been given eternal life. And so when we die, we will go to heaven. And so right now, we are as close to hell as we'll ever get. But not so for the wicked or the lost person, because their few days of pleasure is short, and they have no future beyond this life. In fact, for the lost, this world is as close to heaven as they will ever get. I'm talking about every person who have not received Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. Right now, you are as close to heaven as you will ever get unless you turn from your sins and receive Jesus as your Savior. But now, since we are told not to worry when we see the wicked prosper, the question is, how are we supposed to deal with this problem? Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm glad you asked, because in verse 3 through 8, we see that the psalmist offers us some alternatives to worry. In other words, there are some steps offered that, if followed, it will enable us to find peace even during the most trying times of our lives. And so let us consider with your prayers the steps to peace in the path of life. Well, first step is found in verse 3. It reveals how to control your walk. Now, the emphasis of this verse is for the believer to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And when this is accomplished, the results will be that the Lord will smile upon that life. And so here in verse 3, we have the command. In other words, the psalmist, this is a twofold command. The first one is to trust God, and that is to walk by faith and not by sight. My brothers and sisters, we must remember that things are never as they appear to our human vision. Even when things look like they're going totally wrong in our lives, you need to know that God is still working out his eternal purpose in us, because the Bible says, according to Philippians 1:6, be in confidence of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Simply put, God is the one who began the good work in us, and I'm saying that he won't stop before it is complete on the day that Christ Jesus returns. And therefore, we must learn to trust the Lord in all situations of life. Why? Because there will be times when God's way is difficult to figure out. And so during those times when we cannot trace God, we need to learn to trust him anyway. You do remember that the just shall live by what? Faith. Why? Because the Bible says, according to Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whosoever come to him must believe that he's real, and that he rewards everyone who searches for him. Now, the second command is to do good. Now, this is a command to holy living. In other words, God expects his people to live a life that is honoring to his name. Are you with me? My brothers and sisters, if we could ever learn that God is pleased when we live for him, we would see him bless us in great ways, because the formula for the success in the Christian life is found actually in Matthew 6:33, that says, seek first the kingdom of God, talking about God rule in your life. Are you with me? And his righteousness, and he said, all these things will be added unto you. In other words, we need to put God first, put God's work first, and do what he wants. And then the other things will be added as well. What things are you talking about, Armstead? I'm talking about all of God's blessings on our lives. My brothers and sisters, it's as simple as trusting the Lord and living for him. Because when we do this, he will take care of us. And oh, how well David knew this, because he was an old man who had seen the Lord allow him to sit on his enemy's throne. He knew that serving God always paid off. My brothers and sisters, the whole point here is this. If you will walk by faith in God and do his will, your life will be pleasing to him, and he will commit himself to taking care of you. That's why the Philippian writer said, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the second step tells us, according to verse 4, to condition our will. Now, here in verse 4, the command is to delight yourself in the Lord. The word means to take exquisite delight in the Lord. Although many times when life goes bad, you know, we tend to focus on the problem that arises around us. But when this happens, we'll become defeated and depressed, and then we find ourselves falling into sadness. But in all times of life, or at all times of life, we are challenged to let the Lord be the focus of our attention, because our comfort comes when we are lost in him, and then our desires will be also lost in him as well. Now, my brothers and sisters, when this happens, he will lift us out of our sadness and will fill us with his glory. And if we focus on who he is and what he has done for us, we'll be able to say like Paul in Ephesians 1:3, he said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. To put it simply, he said, praise God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the spiritual blessings that Christ brought us from heaven. Because the comfort comes when, yes, Lord, we are lost in him. And then our will and desires will be lost in him as well. And again, I say, he will lift us up out of our sadness, and he will fill us with his glory. And my brothers and sisters, I think that the latter portion of that verse is a promise that we can claim, because when the Lord is our delight, we will only want to do the things which brings him glory and is pleasing to him. Because when we arrive at that place, I tell you, God will then open up the windows of heaven, and he will give us some of the desires of our heart. Well, now the third step in verse 5 and 6 tells us to commit our way. Now, to commit your way unto the Lord, this means to roll on to. In other words, the idea here is that we are to roll the burdens of life over on to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord hadn't asked us to carry the burdens of life alone. As a matter of fact, according to 1 Peter 5 and 7, he tells us to cast all your cares, cast all your worries on him, because he cares, yes, Lord, for us. Meaning we don't have to bear the heavy burdens of life all by ourselves. We have a God who cares and commands us to bring our burdens to him. And so when we are in the middle of the storms of life, let us learn the truth that we are not in them alone, because God is right there with us. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. In other words, we are to commit our way to the Lord and trust him to take care of us. This was the resolve of Job when he was called on to suffer. Job said in Job 13 and 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Then Job said again in Job 23 and 10, but he knows the way I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as pure gold. My brothers and sisters, we need to also let this be the resolve of our hearts this morning. Because again, after the command comes the comfort. Because the whole emphasis here is that when we are walking in faith, placing our burdens on the Lord, he will take care of us. Now, we may not lack the way we are called upon to trot, but in the end, the faith of the child of God will be vindicated. But we need to know that God is never hurried by our worry. He doesn't get excited when we struggle against situations we find ourselves in. But I tell you what he does. He's looking at our faith. He's looking at our obedience and our yieldingness in the midst of the struggles of life. Because his promise to us is that our faith will never be in vain. And so we are to commit our ways unto the Lord. And in so doing, step four in verse 7 reveals that we'll be able to consecrate our weight. Note, if you will, we are told in this verse to rest in the Lord in verse 7 and wait on him. The word rest means to be silent. And then we are told to not to fret. Now, this word means to be ablaze or to get hot. It carries the idea of getting ourselves all worked up in the rage over the condition of the world or over the valleys we have to walk through. In other words, our duty during difficult days of life is to be patient and silent while the Lord works out his purpose in our lives. Now, this isn't easy, but this is the kind of attitude that was modeled for us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What do you mean, Armstead? Because when Jesus was abused, mocked, crucified, and the like, he didn't respond, but he endured his affliction and yielded silence. That's what Isaiah was talking about when he looked down the telescopes of time and saw Jesus. In Isaiah 53 and 7, he said he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And so regardless of the burdens we are called to bear, we must learn not to whine, but bear it for the glory of God, waiting patiently on him to work out his will in our lives. Again, I say this isn't easy, but it is an attitude that God can bless and use for his glory. And so we are to consecrate our weight. And finally, verse 8, told you it wouldn't be too long, it commands us to conquer your wrath. In other words, in this verse, we're commanded to refrain from anger. And when it seems that the wicked is prospering while you are constantly struggling. Because during these times, it's easy to get bitter at God, to get bitter at the church, to get bitter at other folks. When the problems of life begin to mount up against us, when we see the wicked live lives of ease while we walk through the deep, dark valleys, there is a tendency for us to become angry even with the Lord. Lord, it looked like no matter how I try to please you, my life is constantly falling apart, while the wicked, those who don't even honor your name, those who don't even believe in you, they are prospering. So I might as well just stop being a Christian. I might as well just go ahead and do my thing, because it looked like no matter how good I try to be, how much I try to please you, it looked like nothing is working in my life. But brothers and sisters, we got to be careful that we don't abandon righteousness for evil in the day of our affliction. Because God wants us to stay the course. Why? Well, there will be an end to our struggles down the line. But for the moment, we are to abide in the will of the Lord faithfully and allow him to have his will in us. And let me say to us this morning that I doubt that any of us will ever have to suffer like Apostle Paul did for the glory of God. And yet, Sister Emma, when he reached the end of his life, he was able to say he had fought a good fight. He had finished the course, and he had kept the faith. According to 2 Timothy 4:7, I don't know about you, but one of these old days when I stand before the Lord, I want to be able to say the same thing. I want to be able to say that I fought the good fight, and I finished my course, and I kept the faith, and I want to hear the Lord just say, servant, well done. How about you this morning? If so, we got to learn not to be angry with the Lord. Learn that the righteousness will pay off. Because look at what verse 9 through 11 says. It says about those who are, who we are worrying about, who seem to be living so well in spite of their wickedness. Notice it says, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but he shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, for a little while, that part that says those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth, and the meek shall inherit the earth, I had a little problem with that until the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to what was going on here, because he directed me to go to the end of the book to understand what he means. It's sort of like when I was a boy and my hero, I used to read comic books, and my hero would get in trouble, and if I get a little worried about what's going on, I go to the end of the book. Are you with me, sir? Yes, Lord. He was talking about... He wasn't talking about this earth in which we live now, but he was talking about the new heaven and the new earth that Revelation spoke of. Note John the Revelator said in John 21, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. He said, I heard a voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. But here comes the good news. He who overcomes, it's talking about he who is born again, shall inherit all things. For God says, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But here's the real reason not to fret over the evil one who prospers in his way. We know in Revelation 21:8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the sexual immoral, the sorcerer, the idolater, and all liars, all this is talking about all lost folks. It says, people who have not been born again shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Who are these people according to Revelation 20 and 15? It says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life, they were all cast in the lake of fire. And verse 14 says, this is the second death. And then Revelation 21 and 7 reveal that in that new Jerusalem, in that new heaven and new earth, there will only be those whose names are written down in the Lamb books of life. And so what he's talking about, we're going to inherit the earth, not this old earth here, but one day when it's all over, we're going to walk on a brand new earth. We're going to walk in the brand new Jerusalem. And so as I try to move to the close, the steps to peace and the path of life can be accomplished in your life and my life when we realize that no matter what, that God is working in you and me to develop his image more perfectly. And sometimes this requires pressure on our lives. But nevertheless, I want to tell you to don't give up. Rather give in to God, and he will see you through. Now, I know this sounds a little difficult, and it sounds like we are just to lay back and allow life to take us where it will. But I ever, the truth is that the command in these verses are called to action. Now, these words, trust, delight, commit, rest, and cease. God is really calling us to take control of our